Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
This is New Retirement Radio with the team from Prout Financial Design.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
The information in this material is not intended as tax advice. Please consult a tax professional for specific information regarding your own individual situation.
Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
And here we are back with New Retirement Radio, the first live program of 2020 with Prout Financial Design, starring the crew from Prout Financial Design with Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ron. Jolly.
Yes, sir.
Great to be here, sir. Thank you so much. January 9th, 2020. You know, we need a quote from Barbara Wawa.
2020.
Yes, indeed.
2020.
So we've all been clearing our throats, doing our lip ups. What show is that from, Ron?
2020, I think.
Dateline.
Dateline 2020. Saturday Night Live, maybe?
Ron Howard is the clue. The clue.
The Ron clue. Howard. The clue. And then the 2020?
Happy. No. Lip ups.
Lip ups.
Yes.
With Happy Days?
You got it. Ding, 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 ding. He wins the prize. Well, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for welcoming us into your homes.
So we are live today. Dennis is here. Heidi is here.
Good morning. Happy Heidi New Ho. Year.
And Shay Pataj.
Heidi and
here.
Shay, all three in.
Hello.
Hello.
So Heidi is an advisor with us.
Yes.
Shay is our chief experience officer. And today we're going to be talking about top retirement rulings for 2019. What that'll mean for 2020 as well as 2021. Some of these will not be in force, if you will, until 2021. And Heidi's going to be talking about the new W-4 form for employees and the importance of making certain that you're having the proper withholdings done. Given the laws have changed, you may indeed want to take a look at that. At least talk to your chief bookkeeping officer, that person is at home, yourself, or elsewhere. You're talking about these things and or your employer, you know, given the new form. Hey, could I get a look at that W-4 form? Because it may make a difference to you in terms of your withholdings, if you're having too much withheld, or in some cases, as has happened in 2018, perhaps too little. Given the tax law changes, some people were surprised. And so the IRS has changed some of that to make it more accurate, if at all possible. So, tucked away inside the mammoth piece of legislation, first thing for 2019 was the Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement Act.
What a name, huh?
Mm. Any
it's
idea
almost
how
like
they came up with that?
They thought of secure first and then tried to come up with words that could,
you think,
I think
make that
think,
acronym.
Yeah. Jeez.
The kings of acronyms, there they are, kings and queens of acronyms. The age limit has been eliminated for IRA contributions. We're just going to hit the highlights because we've already talked about this some already, but there is no age limit now. So picture this, Ron. You're 85 years old. You have all these required minimum distributions. You and Laura just don't know how to spend all this money.
Yeah.
So you say, you know, we still have jobs. We're still working.
Yeah.
You can each, at if the limit contribution limit is $7,000 at that time, you and Laura could each theoretically contribute seven times two, 14, thank you very much, $14,000 between the both of you to a deductible IRA. Think about that.
Think about that.
So for those who still have earned income, in theory, Warren Buffett could do this. I think he's in his 80s.
Is this applies to at what age, though, you're saying? You gave 85 as an example.
No age limit.
No age limit.
No age. So you could be 100.
Okay, could be 100.
As long as you have earned income.
As long as you have earned income. And what is earned income, Heidi, since you bring up that most assiduously?
It's anything that's considered equivalent to a W-2 wage.
Yes. So. Self-employment or W-2 wage income. Okay. A nice exception now. And so they've made the Roth and the regular IRA the same, in terms of not having any age limit that contribution.
Part of the Secure Act.
Part of the Secure Act. The RMD age has now been raised to age 72 from 70 and a half. Nice change. So you've got more time to plan. Up close and personal conversation with my brother-in-law. I told him, you know, I don't know that they're going to change this thing. We got all the impeachment going on. The next day, it was attached to the budget rule, and bam. Just like that, it happened. Then the other part of it was, well, you know, if they don't pass it, then your RMD age won't change to 72. Sure enough, it did. So there you have it. Trust tactics. This is one area that's going to be impacted dramatically. For those of you who are trying to control, in essence, because in essence, in some respects, you didn't trust, perhaps. So you had a trust to control the distribution of your IRA to contingent beneficiaries generally. That change, or this change in the Secure Act, has decimated the value of inherited retirement funds, according to a quote from Mr. J. Jones, partner in accounting firm Thompson Jones in Monterey, California.
Decimated? That's pretty...
decimated. Pretty
strong.
That's
a dramatic, strong word.
It is.
He's not waffling on that.
How does he really feel?
Well, what he means by that is instead of taking 3 to 3.5% of a retirement account, especially these larger accounts, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, instead of taking 3 to 4%, they're going to have to take 10% and have the account emptied after 10 years. Now, 10% in essence, because there is no RMD until you've completed the full 10 years, until 10 years after the death of the last survivor. In essence, the non-spouse beneficiary has to take the full account balance over a 10-year period and have it emptied by the end of the 10th year.
So what is the strategy on the other side of that? So you go, I don't want to do that to my family. I'm going to do blank instead.
Well, you may consider the Roth, which we're going to talk about. Roth conversions, fully filling up today's very historically low tax brackets, are going to be more important. Oh, you guys are always into the tax bracket thing. Please. I mean, really, why? 12%. 12% federal tax. I mean, that brings light to the eyes of the most dark one out there, does it not?
Light to the eyes of the...
yes, well, I was looking
for... On a winter day, I can relate to this. So.
Yeah, that is kind of nasty outside.
Light to the dark of the eyes. But one thing we could say is if you have a trust and you are intending for... And you have a large IRA that will fund that trust when you pass away, you should go talk to... your financial advisor, your accountant, your attorney, to find out how much of an impact that's going to make. Those are the people who are going to be the most impacted, wouldn't you say, Dennis?
Absolutely. We're geared with a lot of information to assist our clients in this, and we're going to be talking about educational forums. We intend to have a lot of those, and in fact, they're all in the works at this point. To be able to talk about these specific issues with our clients.
I was going to ask, you were out in front of this last year, and you did two of these, I think, on the Secure Act that were well-attended or sold out.
They were.
And I was going to ask the year ahead, so you have more plans to do that.
We do.
Okay.
We do indeed, which we're not quite ready to share yet. Shay is on the cusp of those planning activities, but we're not ready to.
We have to firm up the details.
Indeed.
I'm going to bring the light to the dark eyes of the winter. It's coming.
You know, you just can't live those things down, Ron. I mean, really.
He's just shaking his head.
Jeez.
SMH, shaking my head.
I just figured out what that was. Someone that sent that to me, and I had to Google it.
SMH.
I know, just when you think you're hip and cool, someone sends you these abbreviations, and you're like, I don't know what that means.
Never heard it before.
Yeah.
That's not saying much, but anyway. So the top IRA rulings, the most valuable asset that can be passed for the majority of Americans at death has had a significant decimation occur to it through the SECURE Act, if you will. For those who want to pass on significant retirement accounts to, generally today, contingent beneficiaries, you're going to want to look at redoing this. Roth conversions are one possible answer. Life insurance is another one. Assets that pass without tax, Roth IRAs, life insurance, one and two, not necessarily in that order.
What will be the big impact that you see down the road? Will there be, so the money has to be spent faster? Will there be more money flooding the economy?
There'll be more money in the economy, in essence, due to the spend down. And or there may be more Roth conversions. One gentleman I spoke to said, well, I guess the goal for me is to live until age 99. Well, okay. But what if you don't? What if you don't? What are your other options, or what might you consider as an alternative or a diversification strategy, given that's the case? For some, it may be drawing out more from these accounts to fund other assets. Again, realizing the impact of today's very low tax environment. It's going to be huge for those trying to do some planning for the coming years. So the Roth IRAs, the onset of reduced tax deferral may encourage more Roth IRA conversions. A good idea, may become even better. So this is an ongoing conversation I know we're going to have with clients in terms of taking advantage of more Roth IRA conversions. Now, another part of this is the IRS life expectancy tables. The IRS has proposed these, and the new tables reflecting longer longevity. How do you say that? It is a small but measurable increase in longevity. So especially for those who are over age 100, the distribution phase is going to be quite a bit longer. But even for those at retirement distribution phase right now, the amount's going to be about 0.5%, if you will. For someone with a $1 million IRA at age 72, the divisor is going to be in about $5,000 less that they'll have to take at that age. So there is this will be in force for 2020. Will not be taken up by the IRS until 2021, and will apply for tax year 2020 then for distributions. Okay,
I have a Shea stat
based on the end of the year 2020 rather.
On longevity.
There's going to be some confusion about that, and for that I apologize. It is distributions in 2021 based on the end of the year value 12/31/20. Okay. For clarification, call our office.
I was just going to say, sit down with Dennis.
The life expectancy tables have increased, but they won't be in force until 2021. Is that clear?
We have a year to figure that out.
We do. We've got a year to figure that out in terms of longer life expectancy tables and thus lower amounts that have to be taken from or for those who are taking RMDs, including children as well as spouses who've inherited these accounts. Both sets. So some interesting changes, more complexity, and some planning opportunities as well. In essence, it's going to force some more diversification of strategy. The last one before we take our break is TSPs. For those who work for the post office, TSP stands for Thrift Savings Plans, which is the 401k type plan offered to federal employees and members of the uniformed services. There are some significant changes in terms of distributions that you'll be able to take from your accounts for those retiring before age 59 and a half, as well as more rollover options, in-force distribution options as well for those who are interested. So they have loosened up the rules in regards to these retirement plans for federal employees, and that's good news for those who want to take distributions who are retired and or for those who want to take ongoing distributions monthly or roll these funds to other IRA accounts. More options there for both. More liberalized distribution options for income as well as for rollovers. Heidi has information on the new W-4 form and why it's important to you.
That's right.
Honey.
You know that's my favorite sounder. Thank you, Ron. Bringing it back in the new year. I feel good about this.
All righty.
Honey.
W-4, Shay.
I'm excited about it, Heidi. Clearly.
So what happened, Dennis alluded to this a little bit at the beginning of the show, where when we had the new tax bill go through in 2017, it affected the 2018 year, and there were some changes to the tax code. So the IRS reduced the amount of tax withheld from wages in an effort to synchronize with some of these changes. However, it didn't work exactly as they had anticipated, and a lot of people ended up not getting a refund who were expecting refunds or maybe even owing tax that they weren't expecting.
So some people thought their taxes went up as a result. Even though
Correct.
The taxes went down, it was the withholding that changed things.
Right. That mm-hmm. that refund check was different, or you actually had to write a check to the IRS.
They took the withholdings down so much that okay. there was a clapback, if you would. They had too little withheld.
Yeah.
They went down to such a degree.
Right.
Okay. I remember this.
So the IRS has decided to try to fix this problem with a new form. Mm. The W-4 form is different. If you remember, we used to get the form and you'd put a 0 or a 1 or a 2, how many exemptions. That's the way it's been for a long, long time.
Yeah.
As long as I've been working, anyway. I don't remember any different form before that.
Well, that's not that long, but you know what I'm saying.
So now there is the new form. So do you need to have the new form? Are you required? If you already have the form on file, if you do not fill out a new form, it's okay. If you're with the same employer, they will use that old form. It'll stay the same, the rate that they're taking out. But if you want to change the amount that you're going to take out, you're going to have to use the new form. Or if you start working for a new employer, you would have to, this is the form, the new form is the one that you will be using when you sign up with a new employer.
Now, a question we had from a staff person here at WTCM. Well, do I have to fill out this new form? Do I have to do it?
You do not have to if you are currently employed with the same employer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just going to use the form they have on file. But again, it's only if you want to change and you're with the same employer or if you have a new employer.
So if you don't put down a 0, 1, or 2 for exemptions anymore, what's the new form look like?
Oh, Ron, that's such a great
question. Can you
question.
Use emojis?
I don't think they've progressed
so
that far yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Like sad face or...
Sad face equals.
Like a laughing, crying, really mixed little, emotions about it.
Little symbols.
Yeah.
So the new form is going to require a little bit more information on your part, actually. You're going to need
shock and awe.
Yeah, right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you may need to go to your accountant and find some of this out. You're going to need to know things, what's your spouse's income, if you intend to take tax credits, how many dependents you're going to claim.
How many children do we have at home, dear?
My goodness.
So let's start out with the easy. It's going to be easy if your taxes are easy. But the key is, what does easy mean? And easy means that you do not file a joint return with a spouse who works. You don't have dependents. You're not itemizing or claiming deductions other than the standard deduction. And you're not claiming any tax credit. And that you don't have any non-employment income.
In other words, you just sit home and watch Judge Judy all day. That would be the easy tax.
So if that's if you are in that category, Ron, yeah, where you're just sitting at home, all you need to do is provide your name, address, Social Security number, and your filing status, and then you sign and date the form, and you are done.
Okay.
But for everyone else, it may be a little bit more complex.
Wow.
And obviously the end result is that you'll get more accurate withholdings. And for those who are leaving $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 with the IRS every year, they enjoy getting it back. You may want to tighten that up a bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So some of the things you're going to need to know, and again, recommend that you just check with your tax preparer or get your tax return from the prior year before you try to figure this out. You're going to need to know what your total deductions were last year, if you still qualify for that child tax credit, how much non-wage income they reported on their last return. Most people are not going to know this stuff off the top of their head, so you're going to have to get those forms together.
But a great idea to go ahead anyway. For many, would you say, Heidi?
Right. It might, the key is, really, your intent should try to be to have your withholding be very close to what you actually owe. If you get a big refund, that means you're really loaning that money, sort of, right, Dennis?
It
sort of like letting the government hold on to that money tax or interest-free.
Interest-free.
So, and if you're not taking enough out, then you need to make sure you have those funds available when you file your taxes that you can write that check. So really the goal should be, now some people like to get refunds, but the goal is to try to closely match what you owe with what you're having withheld. Okay?
Yeah. With these new lower tax rates and more accuracy in the W-4, could be a benefit to many. And just to be aware, this has changed. So you want some more backup information to help you.
Right. W-4.
And so this W-4 form is making it easier for you to adjust your withholding as your life changes. As things change, children coming on and off, this is much more interactive. It's going to go in a little bit deeper as to what your particular situation is than you just doing the standard 012. You're actually using your numbers from your tax return to help figure this out. I will mention at this time that the IRS out on their website does have a calculator that you can go and put these numbers in and sort of try to figure that out so you know what to put in the different boxes on the form. So that's something that you can do on your own to try to give you an idea of how that's going to look before you actually write it in pen on the form.
Very good.
All righty. So some things that you can do is if you have an outside job, you have maybe you work for yourself and you work for an employer, you can adjust your withholding to compensate for that additional income.
Yeah.
So that is another thing that you can do. It also helps with privacy because if you can figure out what you want deducted through these through this form. So if you didn't want your employer to know that you had an additional job or something like that, it just helps keep things a little more private for your own situation.
If you're like earning money lip syncing on the side and you didn't want your employer to know, mm-hmm, you could just get more taken out of your paycheck to cover that. Yeah, more deducted. Yeah.
Yep.
That would work.
Dream life.
But a caution that they do state here is you want to make sure that when you're in the middle section of the form, there's five steps to it. Step one is your personal information. Step two is where you're putting in information for multiple jobs or your spouse working. Step three is claiming dependents. And step four gives you that other miscellaneous deduction area. There is a separate place for that standard deduction that's going to be calculated in. So you do not want to include that in your own individual tax credits and tax deduction section, because then you'll double up on that and even more would be withheld. So Just some basic new information to make our lives a little more complicated in 2020.
2020.
So you might want to take a look at it. Maybe it's a good reminder for those of us who were shocked at our amount of our refund last year. Maybe this is a good reminder to go in and, oh, yeah, I should change that and with the new form.
Yes, and if you have other employment income, even self-employed, it's kind of nice to know that you can make up for those withholdings that otherwise wouldn't have been made through the current job that you have. Yeah. That's a nice option.
All right. Should we get a call before we go to the next topic?
We have a call from Steve.
Steve in Traverse City, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Happy New Year, Ron, Dennis, Jay, and Heidi, and Colleen.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Steve, hey. Your favorite now.
Yes.
Hey, Dennis, did I hear you right? Did you say the laws have changed and you can wait till you're 72 to draw Social Security?
No, your RMD from IRAs. No. Okay. Social Security, the last age at which you can draw is age 70 still, Steve. Boy, wouldn't that have been interesting to see if they changed that, too? Mm. Yeah. But no, age 70 for Social Security, 72 for required minimum distributions on IRAs and other retirement accounts.
Yes. All right. Well, thanks for clarifying that. Appreciate it.
Pleasure, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
So have a great day, by the way.
At 70, you have to take Social Security. Whether you want to or not, you have to start taking it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. They forced me.
Yes.
Indeed. That is the last age.
Here, take this money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Some people don't want to do that.
Now, we're talking about conversations to have with your employer, but...
But things you do have in your control are, you know, talking to your boss this year about your 401k. Yeah, you've got some great tips for people.
I think so. And Shay, you make a great point. What are the things that we can do? I mean, that's what jazzes me big time. What are the things that you can do with what you have and what you've got? Obviously, a beginning of the new year, and we've all, you know, make jokes about, well, you're making a New Year's resolution. Well, make a resolution that's going to stick. What's it going to take? And I'm talking to myself as well, you preachy man. But seriously, if you want to increase your contributions to your 401k or your 403b or raise the amount that's going into your Roth account within your 401k, we still hear a lot of misinformation, if you will, quoted from potential clients. Well, I can't put money into my Roth 401k because I make too much. There is no income limitation for those of you who want to add money to your Roth 401k. Correct, Heidi?
Yes.
Yes, see? She agrees. So it's huge. You don't have to worry about the income limitations. And you can say, for instance, well, I don't know, $1,000 a month is going into my 401k. And I want 50% of that to go into my Roth option. Mm-hmm. $500 a month going into the Roth option within your 401k. Again, given today's very low tax brackets, a great way to pull that control back from somewhere else than you, back to you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this change. And these changes don't take forever. We were talking about the W-4 form at the break. It's still, well, it was a half page before, one page now. But it's still one page. So these types of changes that you make are not going to set your world on fire. Doing these measurable things over time, it is exponential, the difference it'll make. And anyone who's observed compounding over a number of amount of time will say, hear, hear, actually.
As talking about the Roth option with your 401k, you also are adding another strategic element for yourself. Once you do retire, you're going to have funds in different kinds of tax status. So that's going to give you more strategic options when you have expenses in retirement and will help you be able to manage the tax brackets at that point in time. So putting some in a Roth option or a Roth IRA is just going to open up more different strategy options for you.
It's a great diversification tool amongst the investments as well. Understanding that you want to continue to diversify with your strategy, continue to build that pyramid of strength, if you will, but also build the pyramid of different tax consequence of that money coming back out for income. That's obviously what most of us are trying to save this money for. Well, what if I don't want to draw money from that account? Well, you don't have to now until you're age 72. But if you need it and or want it or could use it, duh. And usually, most of us are most busy until about age 75 to 80. We still are willing to hop on the plane, take a trip, go to, you know, Florida, Orange County, Austria, whatever. Right? Yes. So compounding, the impact of that. I just did a rough here. Now, we're not promising 9%. We're just using 9% as an interest rate over a period of 25 years. $1.5 million over a 25-year period at 9%. How much would you have to save, Ron?
Oh, if you wanted to end up with $1.5 million.
$1.5 million saved monthly at a 9% annualized compounded rate would be the equivalent of about...
How much?
$1,340.
I was going to guess $1,000. So if you put away $1,300 a month, every month for 25 years, you walk away with $1.5 million, but you've only put in how much?
Well, if it grows, for sure, at an average rate of 9% per year. So $1,340.
We're doing the calculations now on Dennis's magic calculator.
And play that Jeopardy.
$402,000.
So you put in $400,000, you walk away with $1.5 million.
Yes.
Dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun.
Three times the amount.
High school students should learn that stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Oh my
power
gosh.
Of compounding.
It's incredible. I've seen this again and again. It amazes me. And when we're doing these financial plans, don't forget the compounding. Don't forget the importance of having added sums every month. That's where you're going to have the success. It's actually putting money in. That's the primary factor in making this work. Well, that seems so obvious. You can't believe. Many would say, no, it's the compounding. Many would say, no, it's the time. No, it's actually the amounts going in.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.